Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports. Rodney back from his vacation with Magic Johnson in the Mediterranean.
Yes.
It really was lifestyles of the rich and famous.
Yeah, it was, Fred. I almost feel a little bit embarrassed about it, but it was something that, you know, when you get invited to go, and this has been the fourth time we've been on the trip with him and his wife, Cookie. The first time you hear about it, but you don't really understand it until you actually are involved in a trip like that. You're able to go on a boat like that and experiencing the Mediterranean and that part of the world. It's really incredible. And I thought I had been places and done things. And then, you know, there's a whole nother level. And he took us on a whole nother level. And he's so generous and so open with his, not only with his money and his time and including us, but just in the conversations as well. It was a great trip.
All right, we will talk about that. Let's get to the Dodgers. They're home tonight against the Giants. And maybe some home cooking will turn things around. They look bad in Colorado.
Oh.
There's the bottom line. They just look bad in Colorado. It got to a point where you couldn't put anybody in out of the bullpen to save the game. Because whoever went in became gas can and just got lit up. Yesterday, Floro walked Iannetta with a bases loaded, and the Dodgers lost that one.
Yeah, but I will say, Fred, he got robbed on the pitch before. The 2-1 pitch should have been a strike. It was a strike. They didn't call it. It went to 3-1. And it was just a bad, bad call. But, you know, needless to say, should have never been in that situation.
So, with Kenley Jansen out, and again, we don't know how long he'll be out. I believe he's going to see his doctor again in, what, 7-8 days, and we'll have an update then. But Dave Roberts has to do something. Now, people are pointing a finger at Andrew Friedman, and they're saying, why didn't you do something at the trade deadline to improve the bullpen? Understand that nobody thought Kenley Jansen would have a reoccurrence of an irregular heartbeat. So they acquired John Axford. Granted, he's not the greatest closer in baseball, but they brought him in as a situational reliever. Now Dave Roberts has to do something. We speculated last week that really the guy you want to close, given the way he pitched last year in the playoffs, was Kenta Maeda.
Yeah.
So Kenta Maeda has moved to the bullpen along with Ross Stripling. Now that creates a problem for Kenta Maeda because he's paid by the number of starts he makes.
Right.
All of a sudden, you're going into his wallet. And last year, you say, well, but he pitched in the postseason. That was the postseason. That wasn't the regular season.
Yeah, that didn't affect his contract.
It didn't affect his money.
Yeah.
Now his money is being affected. And you have to wonder, and maybe one day this week we'll get Farhan or Andrew on, and I don't know if they'll answer it, but we'll ask the question, all right, you got to take care of this guy because you have taken him out of the ability now to make money based on his number of starts and put him in the bullpen.
Welcome to the business of sports. I mean, that's just it. You know, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, I mean, and we're more into the analytics now than more so than ever, that's the way it done. And now this has come about in the form of necessity for the Dodgers in that, you know, with Kenley and his situation, they need guys in the bullpen that they can count on. And as we saw last year with Kenta, he was very effective in the bullpen. But as you say, if you're an individual and that is affecting you personally and your contract, you're going to feel a certain way about it. And he is feeling a certain way about it because he's losing out on a lot of money by not having those starts.
Dave Roberts summed up the situation in the back of the bullpen while Kenley is out.
So obviously you don't have that guy that has proven to get out to the ninth inning. And that's where we're at right now. So, you know, we talked about closer by committee and giving guys opportunities and the matchups that we feel is going to give us the best chance to get those last three outs. But I think, you know, the bigger thing also is that we got to score runs too. So when you're putting guys in tough spots and in tight situations where every game's close and you can't, get any breathing room, it makes it tough on everyone.
All right. Well, they did score some runs in Colorado. That they did do.
Not enough. When you think about Colorado, you think it's just a hitter's paradise. Yes, one of the bigger parks in the league. But people do normally score a lot of runs in that atmosphere. But it was also interesting, to hear him say it's closer by committee. Anytime you have that phrase in your sentence, closer by committee, that's a problem.
Well, here's the thing. The Dodgers play the matchup game.
Yeah.
They play the matchups. You know, they don't say, you're going to go out there no matter what. Go get them. This is just the way they play. The way Andrew and Farhan and Dave figure things out. They play matchups. And Andrew Friedman told me when I interviewed him for Channel 4 at one point, we always want to put somebody in the position that allows them mentally to have their best shot to succeed. So if we know we bring this guy in, he pitches well against lefties or right, whatever it may be, we're going to do it. He said because the confidence level the pitcher has is greater because they know they have succeeded in that role in the past. Where conventional baseball fans and longtime baseball fans would say, just put the best guy out there.
Yeah.
And don't worry about the matchup. Go to one guy and have him get it done. That's not how the Dodgers play. And that's why you're going to see this committee approach at the end of the game. But look, Caleb Ferguson looked good this weekend. Scott Alexander looked good this weekend. Those are two lefties. Now you have Maeda from the right side. So if he goes by committee, you have to assume it's going to be Alexander, it's going to be Ferguson, or it's going to be Maeda, depending on the matchup.
Yeah, and then, you know, prior to that, you know, Stripling's going to be in that mix as well. But like I said, anytime, and I'm going back to your point of put your best guy out there and let him go, regardless of that. I'm in that belief. I'm in the belief of, you know, right-hander, left-hander, history, whatever. If you got a closer, you got a guy you believe in, let him go close the game out. And that just builds confidence. When you try to play the matchup game too often, it comes back to bite you, and you can overthink it. And I think sometimes the Dodgers may overthink this situation. I'd like to stick with a guy, figure out who that is, let him roll with it, whether it's a righty, lefty, whatever the matchup is, and let him go.
Well, overthink it. They got bit by that this weekend.
Yeah.
They got bit. And some people said Dave overmanaged. But he's managing the exact same way he has managed the entire season.
Right.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't. Right. Yeah. All of a sudden, I'm overmanaging, but I just did this, and it worked. And now you're telling me I did it again and it didn't. I'm overmanaging. He's in a tough spot now.
Yeah.
You know, look, he's a big boy, but he's in a tough spot.
Yeah, and you know, and I know I just said it, but you can't change midstream either. This is the way you've done it. This is the way you've been successful over the last 3 years. You can't just all of a sudden change now. But something has to give, because when you lose someone like Kenley, then all bets are off, I think. Sometimes you've got to change or go against, you know, what the book says or what the analytics may say. You have to go against that sometimes, because you've been so comfortable having a guy like Kenley that it didn't matter. But now, you know, you're in a situation where you've got to decide, am I going to stick with this or am I going to go with my gut? And the Dodgers don't just go with their gut. They go with the numbers and they go with the matchups. And so that makes it a little bit difficult for them. And like you said, that's the way he's managed over the last 3 years. That's the way he's managed. And it's been pretty successful. So why would you change now?
The other side of it is, you know, they have been struggling. And all of a sudden, they're a game back of Arizona. I laugh when people say this team is built to win the World Series. This team needs to win the West. That's what this team needs to do. I'm not worried about the World Series at this point. I'm not worried about the playoffs. I'm worried about win the West and get in, because it's going to be awfully difficult for the Dodgers to get in as a wild card. That's probably not going to happen. They've got to win the West. And now every game is critical. They have the Giants coming to town tonight. Madison Bumgarner against Kershaw. So here's the question today. And let's use the hashtag game. Let's use the hashtag game. Hashtag. How do you feel about the Dodger bullpen situation right now? Do you like Maeda going to the bullpen? Do you like Stripling going to the bullpen? Are you in favor of this closer by committee? Give it to us in 30 seconds. How do you feel about the Dodger bullpen situation right now? Rodney, do you have a hashtag?
Hashtag confused.
Hashtag. Kevin, you got one?
Kevin.
There we go. There we go.
There you are.
Yes. Hashtag bullpen. How about bull?
Ooh.
Ooh. Jason, you have one?
Hashtag somebody step up.
Mine will be Kenta Maeda, the greatest reliever of our generation. 866-987-2570. Give us your hashtag. When we come back, David Vasse will join us. We'll get more on the inside of what is going on with the Dodgers. We'll sneak your calls in throughout the hour. Later in the hour, the Magical Mystery Tour to the Mediterranean with Rodney and Magic. It's Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete is back on AM 570 LA Sports. Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete, AM 570 LA Sports. Good to have Rodney back. Dodger bullpen, well, they've made some moves, and the question becomes, how do you feel about the situation right now? Do it in 30 seconds. We're using the hashtags today. Let's get David and Downey on the line. David, you're on AM 570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
How you doing, Fred?
Good.
Welcome back, Rodney.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, my hashtag, I mean, you can put anybody you want out there, but for God's sake, keep Pedro Baez off the mound. So I'm going to go a little Napoleon Dynamite. Hashtag, don't vote for Pedro. I'm out.
I just feel for that guy.
No,
I just feel for Pedro. You know, he probably needs a change of scenery.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he needs.
Yeah, I think you're right. Because he's, I mean, it's unfortunate. Because he actually does have good stuff. He's just, it's just bad.
Let's go, Donnie and Compton. You're on AM 570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
Man, I think that it's a great idea. My hashtag is going to be teamwork makes the dream work.
I like it. A little alliteration on there. Very nice. Manuel and Gardena, go ahead.
Search for a stopper. Welcome back, Rodney. And you are the dean, sir.
I'm the dean.
All right, we'll do one more real quick. Brian and Hacienda Heights, give us the hashtag for the Dodger bullpen situation.
All right, what's up, guys? Hashtag new team, same old mistake.
Wow, that gave you a lot of hope right there, Fred.
I'm just, a little dark on that one, wasn't it, Brian? Okay, let's get the insight on what's going on. Find out how Kenta Maeda really felt when he got the word. Bring on David Vasse. Dave, thanks for jumping on.
Hey, thanks for having me. Happy Rodney's back. You know, I watched Below Deck, that reality show, and I felt like I was imagining Rodney being served by the crew of Below Deck on that vacation with Magic.
That's funny. I watched that show too, Dave, and I asked the crew how real that is, and they said absolutely none of it is real.
Oh, yeah. Why'd you ruin it for
Broke
you,
my
Rodney?
Heart. Broke my heart, Dave. Oh. Broke my heart.
Dave, reality TV is scripted.
Yeah, Dave.
You're aware of that, Dave.
I know. I know the Kardashians are scripted. I was hoping Below Deck was a little bit less scripted.
Yeah, they embellish a little bit. But the romance stuff definitely does happen, Dave. I'll give you that. Yeah.
Hey, that was always my dream to be one of the deck people on a boat having some romance, Rodney.
Dare to dream, Dave. Dare to dream.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Let's get to the dream is not Kenta Maeda's to come out of the bullpen. Ross Stripling also ends up there. From what we heard yesterday, neither one were really pleased. Is that the case?
Well, it seems like Ross kind of knew this was coming one way or the other, and I think he's embracing it a little bit more. Kenta, I'm sure, is a little bit more disappointed because he's pitched really good as a starter. And let's not forget, too, he's very aware of his contract situation that, you know, continues to escalate with different clauses and starts. Nothing is tied to being a reliever. And it'll be interesting to see, number one, how he embraces this. Number two, how he responds. Because it's one thing to do it for 2 weeks, knowing your finish line is just 2 weeks away. This is 2+ months away from the finish line. Will he be able to give as much as he did in the postseason in the World Series as he is going to have to give now in the bullpen for the last 2 months of the regular season? And Dave Roberts made it sound like he is not automatically going to be the closer. It seems like he is going to get part of the ninth inning, and he's still going to mix and match depending on matchups.
Hey, Dave, do we know anything new on Kenley and when he might be back or how that's going?
We don't know anything new, Rodney. Andrew Friedman said over the weekend he's going back for a follow-up with his cardiologist on August 20th, which is in another week or so. I'm sure we'll see him out at Dodger Stadium today doing some exercises away from the baseball field. And I think from there, we'll learn a little bit more from Kenley firsthand. But I think right now it's in the holding pattern until the doctors decide what to do and what course of action to take. And for me, Rodney, I think everybody is being a little bit nonchalant about how serious this is with Kenley. Yes, he's had irregular heartbeats in the past, but more importantly, he had heart surgery to try to correct this problem. And here we are again, and here he is again, having to deal with irregular heartbeats. So this is more serious than a hamstring, than a groin, and I feel like the fans are taking that a little bit for granted.
Dave, couldn't they just, because this seems to occur when he's in high altitude in Denver, just not have him pitch in Denver?
That's one solution, Fred, but the altitude doesn't cause irregular heartbeats. It just amplifies whatever is going on, and that's where it really was brought to the forefront back in 2012, that he had a serious heart issue and he needed to correct it surgically. So the high altitude plays a part into it, but from what I've gathered, it's not the sole reason why he's had an irregular heartbeat.
Yeah, I mean, it is something that you, especially the history of him, you have to take it seriously. And then you hear the stories of in the past of several athletes that have had some critical situations in terms of their heart and their heartbeat. So you have to take it seriously. Getting back to the bullpen, though, you know, I know they're kind of feeling their way through. I know
we have to.
We do, because, you know, over the weekend and losing 3 out of 4 to Colorado and the way that they lost, it's got to be very frustrating. And I know for Dave Roberts and that staff, figuring out what's the right combination, have they settled in on that, or is it still a work in progress for the next week or two until we figure out exactly what's happening with Kenley?
As good as Dave Roberts has been the first 2 years as manager of the Dodgers, he has always had Kenley Jansen and really above average bullpen to get the ball to Kenley. This is his first experience as a manager having to navigate a bullpen without having that surefire closer that not only he would bring in the ninth inning, but also the eighth inning. So from what I saw on this road trip, he's still trying to navigate how to handle this ninth inning and how to handle the subsequent innings before that. And he's going to continue to go with the matchups. He's kind of caught in a catch-22. You know, fans are going to second-guess him. Why did you not leave this guy in? Why did you not bring in this guy? But really, all those options that fans are second-guessing him with are the same options that fans are criticizing. So it's a tough spot to be in. It reminds me of the tough spot Grady Little was in with the 0-3 Red Sox when they had no bullpen. So I will say this, though. In defense of the relief pitchers in that bullpen, they have been very good as a group because Dave Roberts has put them in position to succeed, depending on the part of the lineup that's coming up, depending on the matchups. And now he's being taken out of his comfort zone, and these relief pitchers have been taken out of their comfort zone. So that's the reason why it imploded a little bit in these 4 games. And one more thing, I know I'm going on here, but really, the seventh inning has been the big problem for the Dodger bullpen all season long. Even with Kenley Jansen, they have given up more runs in the seventh inning than any other inning that they've played in.
So that's where you'll see Stripling.
You'll probably see Stripling there. Yeah, you'll see Stripling bridging the gap from the starter to the rest of the bullpen. And one guy, you know, I don't know if you guys heard me a month ago. I'm the conductor of that Caleb Ferguson train. They got to use Caleb Ferguson more moving forward because he's a star.
All right, Dave. Manny Machado, he got here, and there was a boost of adrenaline. He's not really tearing the cover off the ball now, though.
No, he isn't, Fred. It seems like maybe he's trying a little bit too hard, maybe pressing a little bit. We all know he's a really good hitter, and it just seems like right now he doesn't look like himself. And I felt like it started on the last homestand when the Dodgers came back from that 10-game road trip and Manny was rolling. It seemed like on that homestand he started to press a little bit with the new team, the new fans, and the home ballpark. And I think that's where the snowball started. So hopefully he can reset in these 3 games against the Giants, because everybody wants to point the finger at the pitching staff, at the bullpen. But not only can the bullpen and the starters pick up, you know, some of the slack here that is left by Kenley Jansen being on the shelf, but also the offense has got to do better. I mean, to score only 3 runs in the last 2 games at Coors Field, that's not going to get it done up there. You got to score runs up there. And to put this all on the bullpen, the offense would have scored more runs. They would have had more of a cushion to work with, and they wouldn't have been tied in that situation last night. So three runs in 2 games at Coors Field, the offense has got to do better. And, oh, by the way, guys, speaking of offense, Logan Forsythe is hitting a cool .412 for the Minnesota Twins.
What?
Who knew? Yeah, well, you know what? I'd still rather have Dozier.
Me too, but I'm just saying, it just goes to a point where, you know, some guys can't handle playing in Los Angeles.
No, you're absolutely right. Speaking about big moments, I didn't realize this until you said it, Dave, about Bumgarner and Kershaw facing each other for the first time since 2016. That's incredible. And I know that they've, you know, kind of had some injuries back and forth over those last couple of years. But how big a game is this for the Dodgers tonight?
It's a huge game. It's a huge series for the Dodgers. And really, from here on out, Rodney, they all are, because they're not running away with this division. The Rockies gained ground on this last four games in Coors Field on the Dodgers and Diamondbacks. So it's a three-team race. And if you look at it, outside the Chicago Cubs, there's only a couple of games separating four teams in the National League. So, you know, all this talk that you can't say there's a big game in August, yes, you can. This is a pennant race, and you're without your closer. You've got to win as many as possible.
Well, Dave, thanks for jumping on. Appreciate the info, as always, and we'll talk to you later in the week.
Okay, guys, thanks.
Thank you, Dave. David Vasse, he'll be out at Dodger Stadium tonight. Don't forget, you'll hear the game right here on AM 570 LA Sports. First of three against the Giants. Morongo Casino Dodgers on deck with Tim Cates. We'll get you started at 6 o'clock. I'm getting some tweets here as we were talking to David Vasse.
Uh-huh.
People upset about Dave Roberts.
Oh.
And saying that he just bungled it and that he's overmanaging. But I ask you once again to consider this. This is how he has managed the team. And they've tried to put guys in situations where they can succeed. Rodney makes the point, and I think longtime baseball fans would agree, hey, just give the ball to one guy and get him out there. This is our guy, and we're going for it. And we're not going to play the matchup game. But there is some validity in we want to put guys in situations where we believe they will succeed, and it's better for them because they know they'll succeed in those situations.
Yeah, and I get that. But sometimes you also gotta yield to the feel of the game and how a guy is going. And sometimes if a guy is going good or he's got his good stuff happening, just because the book says he doesn't do well against left-handed hitters if he's a right-handed pitcher, sometimes you gotta let a guy go if he's doing well, if he's hot. And you don't see that from pitchers. And sometimes if a hitter's hot, you're going to leave him in the lineup. But we don't see that from pitchers. And I think sometimes you got to go with your gut a little bit more than just the analytics.
Don't forget the final stop on the Petros and Money Chevy Summer Tour is this Friday, August 17th at Ballast Point Brewery in Long Beach. Stop by and enter for your chance to qualify to win a 2018 Chevrolet Silverado. Chevrolet, find new roads.
Is it real?
They're real, and they're spectacular.
Or fake news?
Fake.
And of course, real or fake, fact or fiction, the smartest person in the room is brought to you by attorney Joseph S. Narmon. If you've been injured and have questions, call Joseph. Free consultation, no obligation, no recovery, no fee. 866-777-0677. And a return appearance, we welcome Sydney to compete today. Sydney, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome, Sydney. Welcome. It's my house.
Never lost.
Say it again.
Never lost.
Right on. My house, Sydney. My house.
Are you intimidated, Sydney?
Not at all.
Hey, just staring at him with this blank look on your face like, what's wrong with you? All right, here we go. Good luck. Golf analyst Paul Azinger makes jokes about Tiger Woods' swing changes. Analyst Paul Azinger was on with Clay Travis' radio show this morning. Travis asked Azinger about Tiger Woods' swing changes. Azinger snarkily responded, "The only swing changes I'm aware of was his choice to swing at one house and not the other." Rodney, is that real or fake?
Although funny, a little bit. No, I don't think Zinger took a shot at Tiger like that. As much as he probably was goaded into trying to do that, I don't think he did. I'm going to go fake on that one. Fake!
Sydney.
I'm going to say real. Golf is really competitive.
And that's your answer?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you're wrong.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff.
Never lost.
Right out of the gates.
Sydney, that's
I'm back.
Not a good start for you, Sydney.
I'm back.
Don't give him momentum.
Never lost.
Don't let him get excited.
Okay, I'll try.
All right. New Madrid goalkeeper apologizes for singing songs about Real Madrid fans having intercourse with kangaroos. Real Madrid
what?
Goal. Yeah.
Who wrote this?
All right, Real Madrid goalkeeper Thibaut Courtois, pronounced Thibaut Courtois. Should I have read that first? Has been forced to awkwardly apologize for a past tweet that showed him singing a song about Madridistas having sex with kangaroos. Did I say any of that right?
What's the... Wait, I'm confused on the question.
So,
are you, Sydney?
I'm confused. No.
I'm a little confused.
So, Thibaut Courtois just signed with Real Madrid. Before he signed with Real Madrid, he tweeted that showed him singing a song about the people in Madrid having sex with kangaroos. So, the point is, did this guy ever say the Madrid people had sex with kangaroos? Is that real or fake?
I think the tweet is real. I don't think it was like done maliciously, though, if it is real.
So you're saying...
I'm
suggesting,
gonna say...
No, so what you're suggesting is that I just said, Sydney, you have sex with kangaroos.
No.
And I wasn't being malicious.
No.
I wasn't being...
No,
you said it in
you
a nice way, Sydney? Is that
I
what you
set myself up for that one, to be honest. No, I think that's real, though.
You think it's real?
I think it's real.
All right, Rodney, did he say that the people in Madrid have sex with kangaroos?
As difficult as this was to get out, this whole question thing right now, I'm going to have to go real on this one as well.
That's right. Watch the pouch.
Never lost.
Okay, Rodney, you're...
Never lost.
Yeah, here we go.
You're up one.
These are difficult. Difficult to get out, Fred.
Just read them. They're difficult.
Yes.
Well, how did I know Thibaut Courtois? I don't know that. I do now. Brandon Ingram throws shade at the Ball family. After LeVar Ball said Lonzo has nothing to learn from LeBron this weekend, Lakers guard Brandon Ingram added a photo of him and LeBron from their first team workout and quoted, "Looking forward to a season full of winning and learning from the best." Rodney, is that real or fake?
Oh, that's real. Absolutely real. I know that's real.
Sydney, he knows it's real. What do you know?
I'm going to say it's real because he knows it's real.
Right, and that's exactly why you should have not said it.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff.
Oh, man. Sydney.
Wow, I said it with conviction, too.
This rematch is not going well for me.
No,
but then again, you didn't think it was malicious for human beings to have sex with kangaroos.
Okay, this is getting taken way out of context.
All right,
you said it. You said it, Sydney.
Sydney, you'll know this one.
Yeah.
Okay.
13-year-old Little Leaguer lists porn actor as his favorite actor, and ESPN airs it. During their Little League World Series coverage this weekend, ESPN showed a graphic of Little Leaguer Jack Buning from Nevada, who was listed as 13 years old, showing porn actor Johnny Sins as his favorite actor. Sydney, is that real or fake?
Fake.
You're saying it's fake.
I think it's fake. I hope it's fake.
Why?
Oh my God.
That just sounds sad.
What would be sad? Maybe he admires his work.
Yeah, maybe.
It's just very inappropriate. I would hope that's not real.
You with the kangaroo?
Oh, okay, I'm trying to save myself here.
All right, fine. You say fake.
Oh my God.
Rodney.
Oh, you know, Fred, unfortunately, I coached little leaguers at that age. And some of the stuff that comes out of their mouth is you think they're 25. So as a joke, I'm sure they were. It was a dare that he was going to say this and do this, and he did it. So I'm going to go real on that one.
You're really wrong.
It's all fake news. Oh! It's phony stuff.
Come on!
Now, this happened over the weekend, guys. It was out there. Somebody photoshopped that. It was a real good Photoshop job, so much so that other people in the porn industry retweeted it and commented on. Even Johnny Sins himself
commented on it,
responded to it. And then it came out later that it was a big Photoshop job. He actually said his favorite subject in school was science. And someone actually put in favorite Johnny actor Sins. Johnny Sins.
See, that's what I saw. That's why I thought it was real.
I know. Me too. I know. We all fell for it.
Yeah. Okay, you're tied, Sydney. You're back.
Feels good.
Sydney.
Jag suspends star corner Jalen Ramsey for a week after threatening reporters in a tweet. Jalen Ramsey was suspended for sending the following tweet. At Philip Heilman. You know you done messed up, right? LOL. If y'all want war, we got some for y'all. And I know the rest of y'all. You know who you are. Go and read this, too. So just know, hashtag, lame-ass reporters. Was he suspended for a week for sending that tweet?
By the way, you read it verbatim, Fred. That was great.
Thank you. Was he suspended?
Fred, could you try to be the guy from Beverly Hills Cop more in that tweet? Y'all lame ass producers, not gonna fall for the banana and the tailbone.
Oh my god.
All right, Rodney, real or fake.
Is it me or is it Sydney's
turn?
No,
it's you.
No, it's Sydney's turn to go first.
No, Sydney goes first on the last one.
So I go back to back first?
You didn't go. You just answered. So now you go again.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, that's real. Definitely real, Sydney. Definitely real. Absolutely. Look at my face. That is real.
All right, Sydney.
I think it's real.
It's real. Ha-ha! Way to go, Sydney. Believe in me, Sydney. Believe in me.
Don't do that, Sydney. Don't do that. Let me ask you a question, Sydney.
Uh-oh.
Let's say you went to a petting zoo. Okay? And in the petting zoo, they had a kangaroo.
Oh, my God.
And you went up to pet the kangaroo because you were told to do it.
Yeah.
You know, the kangaroo has very powerful hind legs.
Yeah.
The kangaroo leaps up and kicks you in the stomach with its legs.
Okay.
All right. You're knocked back. You fall down. You hit your head on a rock. You're okay, but you suffer a concussion. Now, this was a petting zoo. They told you to pet the kangaroo. You did. Is that your fault, Sydney?
Ooh, that's a good question.
The answer is no, it's not your fault. The answer is no, that's not your fault. They told you to pet the kangaroo. And if
that's
you
right.
did, you
Who
know
you
what you
call?
Would do? You would call personal injury attorney Joseph S. Normand.
Yes, you would.
Sometimes bad things happen to good people, Sydney. And when they do, you need Joseph S. Normand. You don't call your parents. You don't call your significant other. You don't even call the insurance company. You call Joseph S. Normand, 866-777-0677.
That's right. Always call him first. Joseph S. Normand.
All right, Sydney, this is it.
Come on, Sydney.
Your time.
Give it to me.
This is the final question. Good luck.
Thank you.
And you go first.
I'm ready.
The Los Angeles Ballers won the 2018 JBA Championship behind LiAngelo Ball's 58-point performance. In the JBA's first championship game, I can't believe it's already over. The Los Angeles Ballers beat Seattle 132-121. LiAngelo Ball was named the finals MVP with a 58-point performance in the final game. The Ball brothers and their teammates earned Cadillacs as prizes for their victory. Sydney, for the win, is that real or fake?
Real.
You're going real.
I'm going real.
For the win.
For the win.
Rodney. I know you play to win, Rodney.
I do, but I also don't play to lose. So it's real.
It's real, boy. It's real. It's real, boy. Never lost.
I can't just lose to lose.
Hey, did you lose some of your manhood on Magic's boat?
You only just say
that,
the
Rodney?
False answer to lose, Jason? I know that's real.
Oh, you knew it was real?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, come on now. Challenge me.
Well, Sydney, congratulations. You did not lose.
Thank you.
You can walk out with your head held high.
She lost on the kangaroo answer.
Okay. Yeah, that was, yeah.
Sydney, thanks for playing.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sydney.
If you or a loved one has been in an accident or experienced a personal injury matter, time is not on your side. Call the law offices of Joseph S. Normand immediately after your accident. It's the most important thing you can do. Accident victims receive nearly three times larger settlements when they have legal representation after an accident. Recent cases settled in California. A slip and fall, 500,000. Auto accident, 7 million. Motorcycle accident, 1.2 million. Joseph S. Normand is committed to make sure you get the top results for your personal injury matter. If you've been injured, give him a call, 866-777-0677. 866-777-0677. Schedule your free consultation, no obligation, no recovery, no fee. There are no upfront fees. You only pay if we win your case, and if you want a second opinion on your current case, he will be happy to help. Joseph S. Normand, 866-777-0677. Rodney's trip with Magic. You won't hear it anywhere else because nobody else went with him. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete next on AM 570 LA Sports. Appreciate that very much. Shannon Farron was on Going Rogan this weekend. Kevin, yeah. You were on.
Last week. Yeah, this past week it was Shannon and Tim. Shannon went off. Mm. I mean, she was on fire.
Yeah, Shannon went off.
What'd she do?
Well, she kept going, what the hell?
What's cursing on the air? It's like, what's damn, he? Shannon.
Yeah, and she goes, can I say that? I said, well, you just did.
Just, you already did.
Yeah, what am I going to do about it now?
Wow.
Said, you Darvish sucks, which is true, but I mean, she was so blunt about it.
My God.
Shannon. Well, she was working on a little sleep. I'll tell you that.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that's what she said. She'd been doing the morning show at KFI.
That's the story we're going with, Shannon?
I'll tell you what, she was pretty good.
She was great.
She was pretty good. Never heard her quite like that before.
No.
But it was great to have her on. You know, we were talking about the Dodger bullpen. We have a couple of tweets here. Let's see. Dave tweets, Josh Fields will fit that closing spot soon. Mark Martinez says, with everything that's happening to the bullpen, this is the best opportunity for Doc to test the bullpen. Find that guy that can play, that you can rely on, so you don't have to do it in the playoffs.
Who said that?
Mark Martinez.
Oh. I said that.
All right. Yeah. Dodger Baseball 2 said you can't manage the same way you've been without Kenley. That's why we're pissed at Roberts. See, you can't please everybody.
No, you can't.
You can't please everybody.
You know, our friend Jerry Harrison was listening. He says, make Kenta Maeda the closer. Don't make it complicated. You have order, not uncertainty. So a vote in the Maeda camp.
Well, yeah. I vote for Maeda, too. The best reliever of our generation.
Maeda.
Is Kenta Maeda. You can write that down.
Hey, he showed what he can do last postseason, so I don't mind that. I don't mind. If you're going to send him down, why don't you give him a shot to close it out? Right?
I agree. Let's put him in there. Let's let him close.
See what he can do.
Right.
And he's a guy that you can let go. It's not a matchup issue. Just let him go the last inning, and he can pitch to whoever. But I think for an inning and a half, he can be a shutdown guy. He really can.
All right, so now let's get to your trip, your vacation with Magic Johnson. If you're just joining us, Rodney was gone for 12 days. He was on a yacht with Magic Johnson in the Mediterranean. It's the fourth year Rodney has gone on the trip. He and Holly are good friends of Magic and Cookie, and Magic throws a party. This goes on for over a month. He invites different groups of people to come down and join him for a certain period of time on the yacht. So where did you go?
Yeah, so we flew into Naples, Italy, and that's where we got on the yacht. He had just gotten there, so he picked us up in Naples. And from there, we traveled down the coast of Italy. And it's a route, and you said, you know, we've been doing it for 4 years with him and Cookie. Luckily, we were invited and been able to do it multiple times. Magic has been out on this trip 25 times. This is his 25th year doing this. And it is his release. It is his, you know, as he says it, you know, he works all year for this, to be able to go relax, recharge, and he absolutely loves it. So for him to include us in this has been incredible for four times. But we started in Naples, then we went to Capri, which is a little island off the coast of Italy, and then we sailed down to some other coastal towns, Positano, Portofino, which is Holly's favorite and my favorite because it's so beautiful when you pull in there. And just to see a different, you know, country and culture from a vantage point of being on that boat and being on that yacht where you can, you know, go to dinner one night and go to sleep and wake up and you're in a different place was really incredible. We went to Sardinia. Then from there, we went to Saint-Tropez in France and then ended up back in Monaco. And that's where we flew home. But along the way, Fred, the best part of it is obviously the yacht was first class. It was a big enough yacht. There were three other couples that were on there with us. And in fact, we were out there at the same time. Normally, Sam Jackson Samuel Jackson travels with Magic and us when we're on this trip. He had his family. He brought his daughter this time, so they had their own yacht that they were traveling with. He has now jumped off of that yacht, jumped on Magic's yacht, so it's pretty cool.
How big is the boat?
The boat is 240 feet, so it's gigantic, with 24 crew members. It's got six staterooms, including not including a big master suite in which he and Cookie stay in. And it's got, you know, a living room area. It's got the best part about the yacht is he, you know, one thing about Magic, if you know him, is he does his homework. He does his research. He's very meticulous about details. And he definitely picks the best yachts that accommodate him. It's not always the biggest. And he always says that is like, I don't have to have the biggest yacht out there. I just want the best one that fits me and my family, my friends that I bring out. And he does that. And so the decks and there's jet skis and all those type of things that you get to take advantage of. And he's so generous, not only with, you know, inviting us, but he doesn't allow you to pay for anything, any meal or anything. And he's got a great chef on board. So you don't want to even get off the yacht, even though you're in Italy and France and there's great restaurants and great food. You want to stay on the yacht because the chef is so good. But it's about the stories, Fred. It's about the, you know, him opening up and feeling very free to share stories with his friends, his history. We interact. And like you said, I've known Magic a long time. Holly and I have known him. We knew, met him separately. I knew him when I was a college player at USC. He and Dr. Buss used to come to USC football games and be on the sidelines, which is where I first met him. His son, EJ, was in our wedding when he was 3 years old. So we have a long, long history. But this was interesting because this is the first time we were on the yacht with him since he took over basketball operations with the Lakers. So
now let's get to the stories. What did you learn?
Well, I mean, I learned that this is his dream job. You know, Magic has done a lot of things, you know, outside of just, you know, being, you know, the main member of the Showtime Lakers and winning five titles. He's done everything. He's owned Starbucks. He's owned movie theaters. He's owned food distribution chains. He is, you know, obviously made a lot of money outside and outside of basketball, you know, a part owner in the Dodgers. But all the way, being a part of the Laker organization, the organization that drafted him, gave him his start, and be able to run the basketball operation of the Lakers is something that he's always dreamed about. And it shows, it oozes out of him that this is where he wants to be. This is where all of the hard work, all the things he's done in his past has led him to this point, and he's reveling in it and absolutely loves every detail, the good, the bad, the ugly. And one of the things that really came out in that trip is that when he walked in that building, when he was hired, and Genie said, he's going to be our guy, he's going to turn this franchise around, is that he had to make some tough decisions, which is changing some of the culture that had been in the Laker organization for years. And that's not an easy gig because some of the people that were there when he was playing. And so, but it's a new time, a new age, and the Lakers had been down or have been down. So it was his job to kind of change that culture. So he had to go in there and kind of revamp things. And not easy, but I think for the better. And, I think that people, you know, oohed and aahed about him in terms of his, you know, can he handle this role? There are a lot of people skeptical about, you know, can he be a GM? He's never been a GM before. Can he handle this whole basketball operations thing? And he took it personally. He really did, as a challenge, and people are doubting him. And when anybody, as you know, because you know him as well, anybody that doubts Magic, it's going to only fuel him. And that's what's happening, is that it's fueling him to bring the Lakers back.
Did he realize, or when did he realize, do you think, that he had LeBron?
I think that they knew going into that this past season that LeBron was obviously going to be a free agent, that they had a shot. And then as the season ended and there was a scheduled meeting and leading up to that meeting, I think they felt more and more confident that this was a place that he wanted to be. And then I think within 10 minutes of the notorious meeting that they had, or the infamous meeting that they had at LeBron's house at 9:01, which to Magic, that was a big deal, that the meeting was at 9:01 and like not 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock. It was at 9:01, which said something about LeBron, is that, okay, it's a little bit different. There's a time on this. And knowing Magic, he said he showed up an hour early and was sitting there waiting for that time, so he wasn't going to be late. But he knew within 10 minutes, he knew that LeBron was coming.
Was he surprised Paul George didn't come?
I don't think he was so much – well, yeah, I should say he was surprised that Paul George wasn't coming, because for the last year, Paul George had mentioned publicly and privately that he wanted to be a Laker, grew up a Kobe fan from L.A., wanted to be a Laker, said that multiple times. And so I don't think that was a surprise as much as that he signed back with OKC and didn't take the meeting, you know, which, you know, became public that, you know, before he signed, there was a meeting scheduled, and then he did not take that meeting. And I think that shocked everyone, even Magic. And he was shocked about that, and more so than anything else, is that, you know, if this is your goal is to become a Laker, let's sit down and talk about it and let's discuss it. Now, if you go and you sign somewhere else, that's fine, but at least let's talk about it. And that didn't happen. And I think that not only shocked most of the public, but that shocked Magic as well.
All right, we'll get more into this next hour. Also, we'll be joined by the Charger general manager, Tom Telesco, next hour. Chargers lost their opener in Arizona, but it's the preseason, so really, it doesn't matter. The Rams lost their opener as well. And right after the top of the hour, stay with us. Is it giant or is it tiny? We'll explain. Mm. It's Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete is back on AM 570 LA Sports. Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete is back on AM 570 LA Sports. General manager of the Chargers, Tom Telesco, will join us later on in the hour. But if you are just getting in your car, maybe leaving the office now, a number of things have happened during the day. Maybe you've seen some on social media. Maybe you've caught a few on the radio. Some people like to make big things out of little things. Are they big deals or not? To answer that question, we welcome Vic Jacobs. Vic, welcome.
Thank you, everybody. We like to say, is it giant or tiny?
Is it giant?
Or is it tiny?
Let's start with LaVar Ball.
All right.
Regarding whether or not the new look Lakers squad is LeBron's team. Well, LaVar, recent radio interview, he says, quote, how's it going to be LeBron's team? He ain't homegrown. You say what you want, but we know what it is. Lonzo didn't go to Cleveland. LeBron came over here. We already over here.
LeBron came here to L.A. We already over here.
Fred, big, giant, or tiny?
It's tiny.
Tiny.
It's tiny because the 15 minutes for LaVar Ball have come and gone. Once the Lakers signed LeBron James, all LaVar could do was stand on the corner and scream, look at me, wave his arms, I'm still around. That is one of the most foolish things I have ever heard. It is not a big deal. It is tiny.
Fresh from the Italian Riviera with Urban Magic Johnson.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes,
Rodney, sir. Is it giant or tiny?
Oh, no, it's tiny. It's tiny. Yeah. LaVar is becoming more and more irrelevant as time goes on. And the fact that LeBron is here, it is absolutely LeBron's team. The only one that thinks it's not is LaVar. It's ridiculous. And to suggest that at all even makes him more tiny. I don't know how more tiny can he be than what he's saying right now.
Giant or tiny, K-Fick?
Tiny.
Extremely tiny. Everything that this guy says rings hollow. And it has for the last year and a half that he's been in the spotlight at this point in time. Why people still want to talk to LaVar, I have no idea. Everything he says is totally ridiculous. And this just falls right in line with everything he's been saying since he's been in the spotlight. Extremely tiny. Nobody should lose sleep or give any credence to anything he says when it comes to the Lakers, Alonzo, or LeBron James.
Bow down to 23. Meanwhile, Sean McVay, head coach of your Los Angeles Rams, said over the weekend that the Rams have had, quote, increased dialogue with Aaron Donald's camp, Jason LaCanfora, Fresh on the Charger broadcast with Matt Money Smith is reporting that the Rams will likely have this deal done by the next preseason game. Giant or tiny, Fred?
It's giant. Giant. But I caution you, It is giant that the Rams would have any dialogue at all with Aaron Donald right now because they definitely need him. But I'm going to caution you here. I spoke to somebody today with the Rams.
Kevin.
And looked into it. And I came to the conclusion reporting anything as close with Aaron Donald at this time would not be wise. Trying to prognosticate anything right now with Aaron Donald or put a time frame on it would not be wise. But that they are having these dialogues, I think, is giant.
Giant or tiny or Pete?
I don't understand what Fred just said. I have no idea what he just said right there.
Well, you want to know what I said?
Yeah, what'd you say? Is giant or is tiny? Is not
I think
giant
it's
tiny,
giant that they're tiny. Having any dialogue at all.
Yeah.
But I also believe, and I was cautioned, that to go out and speculate when it's going to be done would not be wise.
Okay.
It would not be wise.
All right. So I think it's giant. It's giant. And I think at this point, to Fred's point, there's been so much speculation about this contract and it getting done, and they know the blowback on it, that for them to say that they've been talking and it's getting closer leads me to believe that it actually is closer. You know? And the backlash they got for signing Cooks and getting Todd Gurley done with his big deal, there's no way in the world they cannot get Aaron Donald done before the season. So I think this is a giant revelation and that it will get done very, very soon. And good on the Rams, because if it does get done, you talk about a dominant. I'm talking dominant defense that nobody's really talking about. It's the Rams defense. Giant.
Giant or tiny, K Fig on the increased dialogue with Aaron Donald's camp.
Definitely giant, Vic. This is something that's been going on for 2 years now. Remember, he missed the start of last season, the first couple of games. And this is your best player, the best player, defensive player in the entire league at this point. And Rodney, you brought up a point, signing all these other guys. And I know the contracts are worked out a little bit differently as far as the cap, but it's a bit of a sign of disrespect to him. So if they can find a way to get this thing done and get it done quickly, not only now, but we're talking about before the start of the regular season, to actually get him into camp, have huge ramifications in how they want to use him moving forward, along with these new other pieces on that defense. So if they can get him in camp signed before the start of the regular season, I know, Fred, you said your source hasn't given a definite timetable, but if they can do this soon before opening day, it'd be huge. So this is huge news, considering how large of an impasse there was previously, to saying now we're on the verge of them possibly getting something done.
Moving into the electric world of golf, Brooks Koepka won the PGA Championship yesterday in St. Louis, has now won three of the last six majors. But Tiger Woods stole the headline, shooting a closing 64, his best last round ever in a major on Sunday, to finish two strokes behind Koepka. Is that giant or tiny? Let's go, Rodney.
Oh, that's giant. Yeah, that's giant. You know, he's been close. Tiger's been close the last couple of tournaments. And there's still a question out there whether he could come back. And I think this weekend proved that he can be consistent and play 4 days of consistent golf and be in the hunt. Had he not had the hiccup, or if he just were able to drive the ball on the front nine yesterday and not have to get himself out of trouble, he'd have been okay. And then on 17, a par 5, where he has a chance to get it and make it close, he then has to scramble to make par. But Brooks, my man Brooks, unwavering. He's a new star in the PGA. The whole weekend was giant for Tiger and for golf.
Giant or tiny, Fred?
Oh, it's giant.
Yeah.
It's giant because ratings were up 69%. 69%. Tiger Woods is golf. Poor Brooks Koepka gets a hug and a kiss afterwards and walks out of there with a trophy, and everybody's talking about Tiger Woods. He is the sport of golf. He transcends the entire sport. He is bigger than the sport of golf. Good for Brooks Koepka, but actually better for Tiger Woods.
K-Fig, giant or tiny?
Humongous.
Oh!
Yeah. You talked about Tiger Woods, you know, or Brooks Koepka getting hugs and kisses. You realize Brooks' wife hugged Tiger coming off of the course. That's how big of a deal Tiger Woods
did. Yes, she did. I saw that.
You saw that, Rodney?
Yes, I did.
And Koepka even said himself, like, watching Tiger surge at the end of the tournament reminded me of when I was a child watching this guy. They revere him. And you mentioned his driver's not the same as he used to be, and that's something he has to work through with his back, multiple back surgeries. But just to have a major where Tiger Woods is actually in contention at the end, Fred, you talked about the giant surge in TV ratings. Without that, nobody would give it to about the PGA Championship or any other golf tournament, regardless of who will be competing in it. Huge win, not only for Tiger, but as you mentioned, Fred, for golf as a whole.
The first episode of Giant or Tiny.
Vic, thank you.
Vic,
nice job.
I love it, Vic.
I love this. I love this shtick.
Do you like this shtick?
I do.
All right. Well, we'll fly it up the flagpole and see who salutes.
Let's see what happens. Let's keep it fluid.
Keep it fluid.
Keep it fluid.
We'll keep doing it. Man, it's always fluid. The general manager of the Chargers, Tom Telesco, will join us next. Coming up at 1:30, it's Good Call, Bad Call. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet on AM 570 LA Sports.
Keep it going. I love that.
The slow jams
there. Yeah,
right?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Coming back from vacation.
There you go.
It's good to be back, Fred, with you.
Good to have you back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Before we get Tom Telesco on the line, don't know if you heard about this today. The Clippers made a move. They made a move in their broadcast team. Bruce Bowen, who played for the Spurs, replaced Mike Smith as the color analyst last year. Now, during the season, he was on Sirius XM radio, asked about Kawhi Leonard and him not playing. And Bruce Bowen said some things that probably weren't the most flattering, indicating that, you know, he makes $18 million a year, and of course they want him to play, and he ought to be out there. Little did he know, at some point, the Clippers would pursue Kawhi Leonard or want to sign him as a free agent. So they fired Bruce Bowen today. The Clippers fired him, and they really fired him because they wanted to send a signal to Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
We want you here, and anybody that speaks badly about you is out. That was a message.
Yeah, it was a message, which is unfair to Bruce Bowen. And you know, like him or not, you know, he is paid to be opinionated as well and to speak his mind and to be fired because he said something that went against maybe something that the Clippers would want him to say. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. And, you know, the Clippers want Kawhi Leonard in the worst way if they can land him, and they don't want anybody in their organization or associated with their organization to speak badly about him. But if you're going on a broadcast and you're talking and you're speaking your truth and you're speaking honestly, you shouldn't have to pay the price for that. And that's unfortunate that it happened to Bruce Bowen.
All right, one man we have never spoken ill of, and a man who's never spoken ill toward us, is the general manager of the Chargers.
Well, speak for yourself, Fred.
Tom Telesco. Hello, Tom.
Hello, guys. Thanks for having me
What's happening, Tom? How are you?
Good. Just off the practice field, so looking forward to talking to you guys as usual.
All right, does the preseason mean a thing?
To you two? Probably not a whole heck of a lot.
Right.
To us, it does, obviously. It's one thing, you know, practices are great and we learn a lot on the practice field, but you have to see it translate over to a game situation, playing against somebody else where you're not exactly sure what they're going to do all the time. So that helps the evaluation process for us. So these games are needed, even though from my entertainment product, I understand a 3.5-hour game with 26 penalties is not what people are looking for.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything to Fred, and it doesn't mean much to me anymore either. But my first 2 years in the league, yes, it meant a lot to me. Absolutely, it did. So, Tom, what are your takeaways from the first game this preseason?
Well, there was good and bad. The good is physically we played pretty well. We had more than 200 yards of offense, more than they did. We held them to 0-for-11 on third down, less than 3 yards a carry. So we did some good things there, but mentally, we did not play real sharp. So 15 penalties, 4 turnovers, and that you can't win any games that way, whether it's preseason or regular season. So good things to work on, good teaching points from the game. In preseason, we're really looking for really how players transition from practice to game as far as are they using their techniques the right way, looking for how they handle their one-on-one matchups. We understand the group execution isn't always going to be there, and now I would like to see it better than it was on Saturday night, obviously. But there were some good things on tape to work with this week and as we get ready for Seattle on Saturday night.
Chargers GM Tom Telesco with us, AM570 LA Sports, Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete. All right, Tom, you're evaluating, you're looking. Who surprised you? Who stood out? Who made an impression?
Well, I thought Geno Smith did a really nice job. I would say the Cardinals probably blitzed a little bit more than usually seen in the preseason. He got the ball out of his hand, made quick decisions. He moved the football team. So that was good to see. Again, a lot of things we can see in the practice field, but you need to see in game conditions. So I thought he did a nice job moving the team. Obviously, he wasn't here with us last year, so he had to pick up the offense recently in the offseason. But I thought he did a nice job for us.
Yeah, and I want to follow up on that because obviously, you know, Phillip Rivers didn't play in this game. He's not getting any younger. Your backup quarterback situation with you just mentioned Geno Smith and then now also Cardale Jones. Are you guys comfortable where you are? I know you got to see some more playing time from both of those guys, but are you comfortable with your backup quarterback situation?
Well, I want to see more, and they're going to get a lot of snaps. I mean, I think Phillip's going to play this week, but both Cardale and Geno are going to get a lot of snaps as we move through this preseason, just to see how they acclimate into the offense. And, you know, no matter where Phillip is in his career, you still want to have a comfort level as a back with a backup quarterback that if something happens to your starter, that they can go in and move the football team and still you know, still get you a win. So still more to see, but, you know, there were still some good things on Saturday night.
Tom, what about the tight end? How is that shaking out? Is an old friend going to rejoin the club?
Well, it's certainly still a possibility. We know who that old friend is. It's I don't have anything new to report, but it's obviously something that both sides have explored, and we'll kind of see where it goes. But so that's still a possibility. And we'll go from there. You know, I think, you know, signing Virgil Green in the offseason ended up being a bigger signing than you would have expected now that Hunter's out. You know, Virgil's played a lot of games in this league. He's been a starter. He can certainly help us in the run game. I know he had a drop the other night, but he can contribute a little bit in the passing game, too. He runs very well for his size. He's always been a guy that with a lot of speed. And then we've got some young guys behind them to see if they can shake out or not. I thought Sean Colkin did an excellent job blocking for us in the run game, and I think people forget as a tight end, that's half your job description. It's not just running and catching footballs. It's being able to handle a defensive end or a linebacker or a safety, and Sean Colkin did a really nice job, very physical in the game on Saturday, and he also had a couple of really nice catches.
Yeah, and speaking of bright spots, I mean, I think this guy was a steal last year for you guys, and looks like he's going to continue that this year, and that's Austin Eckler. Had a pretty good game against the Cardinals. How about his performance and how he's going to fit into the offense this year?
Yeah, he's going to be a big part of offense and special teams. I'm really, really proud of what he's done. I mean, coming from Western State in Colorado, a Division II school, where he dominated at that level, which you have to do if you think you have a chance to play at this level. But he came in last year, and he did all the little things he needed to do to get noticed to make the football team coming where he came from. And it started on special teams. So he really showed on the kickoff team and as a gunner on the punt team that he can be a big-time contributor just in those roles. And then he started to get some more snaps on offense, and you can kind of see his burst, his speed. And then he's also a lot stronger runner than people give him credit for sometimes. So, yeah, he's going to have a lot of roles on this football team, whether it's at running back or whether it's on special teams. And, yeah, he's going to help us win games.
When we were down there in Costa Mesa, all the talk was Mike Williams, the kind of camp he was having, Phillip Rivers, very excited about it. What did you see in the game Saturday?
Well, I'll tell you what, he ran a slant, I don't know, maybe first or second quarter, and it was a big boy slant where he had three people draped on him and made a nice catch and dragged him along a little bit. So he looks very good. It was nice. It's nice to get him here with a real training camp. I mean, essentially, he's a rookie for us. This is his first camp of just working every day and feeling that everyday grind of a two-hour, two-and-a-half-hour practice and then coming back the next day and doing it all over again. He missed all that last year, and by the time he started practicing late in the year, your practice tempo is just a lot different than it is in August. So this is important for him. He literally made strides every day. Looks more comfortable now than he did late last year. And with Hunter Henry being out, we need some other guys, not even necessarily at the tight end position, but other positions to step up. He's going to be one of those players.
Hey, Tom, I got to tell you, you just said something that put a big smile on my face when you said he ran a big boy slant. And
as a quarterback,
as a quarterback, you love guys that run a big boy slant, because not everybody wants to go in there and go fearless into the middle. So I love to hear that about him, and that he was able to do that. One of the other things that I wanted to bring up is, and it's a little sore situation, because I think if it was handled and it was, you guys had somebody solid, you'd have made the playoffs last year, and that's the kicking situation. How's that looking?
Well, it's still a work in progress, and we still have three games to go and a good amount of practices. So we only had two field goal attempts on Saturday. One was a nice miss, one was a nice make. The other one was not a great miss. So went 1-for-2 there. But we'll see how these two guys shake out. Championship teams have championship kickers, and that's what we need. Both these guys have enough talent to do it, and we'll kind of see how it plays out.
Caleb Sturgis and Roberto Aguayo are the guys. And how do you make that decision? I mean, do they have kicking contests every day in practice?
Well, I wouldn't call them contests, but every day they're being evaluated on the practice field. Whether it's a day we're actually working with 11-on-11 live kicking, or if they're working on the side kicking. They're with their special teams coaches every day. So, yeah, that's every day is monitored. And then obviously the games are important too, so we'll see how it plays out. We've had the off season and then preseason to get a look at these two guys. Like I said, they both have enough talent to kick in this league. Obviously, Caleb has a little bit longer track record. He's done it at a pretty good level. But Roberto's done a nice job. He's got a really smooth leg. Ball gets up, good height, good range. So we'll kind of see how it plays out.
All right. Well, Tom, thanks for jumping on. And you've got Seattle this weekend, and the evaluation period continues. Everybody really excited about the prospects for the Chargers this year.
Thank you very much. We're looking forward to Saturday, our first home game. But thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, there he goes, the general manager of the Chargers, Tom Telesco. And once again, they are the team that is favored to win the AFC West. They could have a very good year. And don't put too much stock in this preseason loss. Just don't do it. It doesn't matter.
No.
It is irrelevant. They're just looking at guys and trying to decide who will fit and who won't. The journey is officially underway.
It's time for good call.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Bad call.
I may have to hang up on him.
And listen, you can experience the action up close of your LA Chargers training camp for free. Bolts Camp, open to the public now, of course, through August the 23rd. Get up close and personal with the fellas from 10 to noon at the Jack Hammett Sports Complex in Costa Mesa. Details at chargers.com/camp. Go Bolts. Love the Chargers D this weekend, by the way. The D was on fire. The kids, man. Nwusu.
And they hit your boy.
Kaiser White.
They hit our UCLA boy, Josh Rosen, pretty often that night. But he kept getting up, so that was good.
It was like a UCLA replay for
Rosen. Yeah, it was.
Got four at 41 yards, 61% passer rating.
He got hit, though. He got hit by that Chargers D.
He got up.
While we're talking about defense, I did not have this, but I'm going to make a bit of a left turn. Is it a good call or a bad call for the NFL to revise its helmet-to-helmet rule? Now, I don't know if you guys have seen how much preseason football you've watched this past week. A lot of questions going, questionable calls, penalties thrown on this helmet-to-helmet rule, where a lot of guys were leading with the crown of their head, other guys just having their face up with incidental contact with their helmets hitting other players, yet still being penalized. And many people pining today, and I know Pro Football Talk is one of them, that the NFL needs to be more specific with their helmet-to-helmet rules, not saying that incidental contact should be penalized. So that's something that needs to be looked at, that many people believe. I want to get your thoughts on it. We'll start with you, Rodney, because you're former quarterback. You've been subjected to some hits throughout your career. Is it a good call or a bad call for the NFL to revise its helmet-to-helmet rules to rule out incidental contact as a penalty?
Yeah, they got to really revise it. They got to figure out what it is, because nobody knows. And they haven't known for the last 5 years of what that means or what it is. And secondly, before they start fining guys, they have to do a review process. And that means if because we're always looking at the defensive guy. That's the guy that initiates it. Well, a lot of times receivers will bend their head down first and put a defensive guy in a disadvantage in a no-win situation. So it's really on the onus of the offensive guy who does the initiation. So they got to really revise that and really look at who initiated the contact from a head, crown of the head situation. But it's a mess right now, and they need to really, really review it.
Fred, does it need to be revised?
Yeah, it does need to be revised. But here's the issue. How are you going to revise it? How are you going to determine what's incidental contact? What they're saying is, we don't want you to hit anybody in the head.
That's or with your head. Not right. In the head, but with your head.
Yeah, but with your head. The game
you can tell intent, though. You can see if somebody launches or things like that.
That's one thing, if somebody launches. But in the middle of a pile and everybody's diving down and you hit somebody with your head. And all they're trying to do is protect themselves, not the players, the league, and in theory, make the game safer so you don't have an outcry and you don't face more lawsuits. The issue becomes, in a game that fast, how in the world can you say, nah, that was incidental? You don't know because it's so quick. Yeah, they need to revise it, but I have no idea how they can do that.
What do you say, Vic?
Good call. Revise, enlighten, inject clarity into what is a very nebulous play to begin with. The fellas have learned how to tackle one way since they were 5 years old. Suddenly you're telling them, no, you can't tackle this way. You can't lead with your head. Well, what can I lead with? And what is my intent is to bring this man down.
Yeah, and to Rodney's point, there was a game in that Charger-Cardinal game this past weekend where the offensive player was running with the ball. The defender tried to hit him low. The offensive player dipped even lower, and the defensive player, you can't move when you're running 100 miles an hour. So he has to hit him with his face mask, and that gets ruled a penalty.
And if you're an offensive,
there's no way to avoid that.
No way.
And if you're an offensive running back or a wide receiver who's aggressive and truculent, you're going to lead with your head to get extra yardage. Do you call the penalty on the offensive player for leading with your head?
Yeah. They
don't do that. It's always about the D.
Yeah.
It's always protecting the O.
Well, they have a couple more weeks in the preseason to figure it out before someone possibly gets caused a regular season contest because of one of these penalties. We'll move on. Good call or bad call for the city of L.A. to forge on with the gondola to Dodger Stadium. Now, Mayor Eric Garcetti sent out a tweet about, 15, 20 minutes ago, as a matter of fact. He says, we've taken another key step forward to having a gondola that will take fans from Union Station to Dodger Stadium and back. He says it will carry about 5,000-plus passengers per hour in each direction and take less than 5 minutes to go from Union Station to Dodger Stadium on game days. Good call or bad call for the city of L.A. to forge on with the gondola to Dodger Stadium. Fred.
It's a good call to get people into the stadium. I just don't like the guy that's building it.
McCourt.
Frank McCourt.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to give Frank McCourt money. Given what happened, I mean, he's still going to profit. He's building it. It's his gondola. I think it's a great idea to try to get people in and out, but I don't like the guy that's building it, so I'd walk.
Maybe they could put like a picture of his face on it and you can like throw stuff at it before you get on. Like a target. Like a target or something.
I just don't like personally, I don't like giving the guy 10 cents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you say, Rodney?
I mean, I'm with Fred. I love the idea of the gondola because I think it can get people in and out. And I think a lot of people will use it. But just the fact that it's McCourt building it, it's just an ugly taste. Ugly taste in my mouth. That it can't be, because I think it would be so much of a backlash because he's a part of it. So a bad idea that he's a part of it, great idea and concept, but bad idea that he's involved at all.
What say you, Vic?
A river dirt sheet to the gondola. I've got your gondola right here. What are you talking about with a gondola? Yeah, the canals of Venice, beautiful with a gondola. Venice, California.
Arrivederci.
Venice, Italy, Italia with the Venice and the gondoliers and the singing, the whole thing. Now, there's got to be a more direct route to Dodger Stadium than jumping on some freaky gondola sponsored by one of the most toxic presences in Dodger history, Frank McCourt.
Well, Rodney, you said it'll put a bad taste in your mouth. This will put a good taste in your mouth, you would think, right? Good call or bad call for the Dodgers to offer in-seat beer service at Dodger Stadium.
The Dodgers announced earlier today, fans 21 years of age or older will be able to purchase beer from in-seat vendors at the stadium. And that starts tonight, as a matter of fact, in today's game against the Giants. Apparently, other teams and other arenas have been doing this in the state of California for a while now. The Dodgers have now decided to jump on that train themselves. They accept cash and credit cards and domestic and premium type beers. Whatever you want, they'll bring it right to you at your seat. Good call or bad call for in-seat delivery at Dodger Stadium. Beer, Fred.
Great call. Here's why. Aside from having to go to the bathroom after you've had five beers, you're not going to be in line waiting to buy a beer. You'll be in your seat, and you'll get to see more of the game. I think it's an efficiency issue. I think it makes an awful lot of sense. Why do you have to get up, walk up, and the lines move pretty quickly at Dodger Stadium, but you're still in line? This way, you see more of the game. I like it.
How about you, Rodney?
Great call. I love it. There's nothing worse than seeing the stadium a quarter empty because people are in line going up to get a beer. So keep them in their seats. Big moments and big games. Everybody's in their seat ordering their own beer. And they don't have to get up and stand in those lines. And I think it's an efficiency issue, like Fred said. So it's a great call to to apply this process and this new situation to allow people to order beer from their seats. They don't have to get up. There's no empty seats during the seventh inning when we need a crowd noise.
How about you, Vic?
Totally enlightened call. Cerveza in your seats, this should have been implemented years ago. Sometimes you can wait a couple innings to get your beer. Let's face it, depending on the line, depending on the thirst, depending on the intensity of the game, but to debut it tonight at the Ravine with Dodgers and the hated ones, this is perfect. Great call.
It's a step short of perfect, because unless they add micheladas to the menu, then I'm on.
Micheladas,
I'm all about it.
Now you're talking, K-Fig.
Now we're working.
K-Fig. Mm-hmm.
All right. More baseball. Good call or bad call to apologize for flipping your bat. Now, Cubs third baseman, a rookie, by the way, David Bolt, last night had a pinch hit walk-off grand slam to have the Chicago Cubs beat the Washington Nationals last night. And he had a very, very small, at least in my estimation, bat flip after he hit the home run, rounded the bases, and celebrated with his teammates. Apparently, did an interview earlier today on local radio in Chicago and actually apologized for flipping his bat, saying he did not mean to disrespect anybody. He was caught in the heat of the moment. Good call or bad call for David Bolt or anybody to celebrate for a bat flip after you just won a game on a walk-off grand slam, Rodney Pete?
Bad call. You shouldn't have to apologize for a magical moment like that. And for anyone that got offended, get over yourself. It is sports. It is about celebration. It's the agony of defeat and the celebration of victory. Allow someone to celebrate that victory and don't get upset about it. Don't ever apologize for doing something great. I hate this. Allow the kids to bat flip. Why are people so sensitive now in sports? Allow the celebrations to go. Come on now, Vic.
Come on now.
What about you, Fred?
That's a bad call. You shouldn't have to apologize. That's exactly what baseball needs. They need emotion. They need celebration. They need excitement. That's what the sport desperately craves. And this guy had a great moment. Let him celebrate it. There's no reason to apologize. And I think going forward, it's like Cody Bellinger. Cody Bellinger hits a home run. He's running around the bases and he's pumping his fist. He's genuinely excited. I think that's great. Let people celebrate. Let them be excited. That's what the audience wants anyway. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying the moment and savoring it.
How about you, Vic?
It's a bad call. Baseball needs Pasión y Corazón. Just an at-bat by Yasiel Puig is more entertaining than watching 10 baseball games. You got the wiggles. You got him dancing on balls outside. He's lifting his feet. He's twirling. He's doing nutty things. He's wacky. He's must-see freaking TV. For someone to apologize for flipping a bat, that's what baseball needs. Everyone should be flipping their bats when they hit a game-winning hit, even a game-winning walk. I mean, you know, flip your helmet. Go nuts.
You said Puig was twirling. He's like Baryshnikov going around the bases or something.
He's twirling on every at-bat now. It's for every at-pitch has become an event.
Dancing.
Every at-pitch for Yasiel Puig has become an event.
Good call or bad call for Sam Darnold to be anointed as the savior of the New York Jets. Now, some Jet fans out there in New York are calling him the Jetsiah. after Sam Darnold had a pretty good debut in their first preseason game, and it looks like he's likely going to be the opening day starter for the New York Jets. Let us thus we forget that the Jets took a USC quarterback in the first round not too long ago and named him the Sanchez before he threw like 35 interceptions and then flamed out there. But different situation.
But two championship games there.
Different quarterback.
You forgot. You left that part out.
It's a great defense.
Left
too.
That left that part out.
Great defense and a great
two championship games back to back.
I understand. Okay. Good call or bad call for them to say that Sam Darnold is the Jetsiah and savior of the New York Jets, our resident quarterback Rodney Peet.
Bad call. Okay. Bad call. Come on now. I mean, I love my USC brethren, but it's preseason. It's preseason. Let's not anoint him yet. The Jets still have a long, long way to go, and Sam has a lot of learning to do. He's going to have his ups and downs, but let's not get overly excited about one preseason game. Come on now. Manage. As Fred Rogan would say, manage your expectations.
Fred, what do you say in this situation?
Unfair and bad call.
Okay.
Why would you put that kind of pressure on Sam Darnold, who's a great kid and could be a terrific NFL quarterback? Don't do that. Don't put him in a position to fail, because that's all people are doing. In their desperate hope for hope, they're putting him in a position to fail miserably, because you're not going to live up to that. I don't care who you are. You're not going to live up to that. Don't do that to him. Let him grow and let him learn and let him become the quarterback he's going to be. Don't do that.
Our resident New Yorker, Vic.
Great call.
Oh, okay.
I grew up in Queens, and this JTS Sucker. Squad has been flotsam and jetsam garbage for so many years. They're finally excited. You know Sam Darnold, you know, poison the noise. It's not going to bother him. Headlines in the New York Post, he doesn't care. He's going to do his thing. He's took the most reps of any player for the second straight day. You know, Bridgewater and McNown, they're done. They can follow Sam. Sam Darnold's going to lead this team. Remember how really crappy the Jets have been at quarterback. The whole team has been garbage. Down in the cellar of the, you know, of the East, you know, barely get a sniff of New England. Even Miami, they can't even beat Miami regularly. Sam Darnold's a breath of fresh air, and I love that he's getting this love in New York. And he's going to be a sensational quarterback for the Jets for the next 15 years.
Flotsam and jetsam.
Oh, this team is, and the fans are so desperate for talent, and now they have Sam Darnold. They're going nuts, and I dig it.
Sam Darnold, a breath of fresh air in the midst of garbage. I like that, Vic. That's good. And that's a good call back, old gentleman.
Okay, Vic.
Come on now.
Don't forget the final stop on the Petros and Money Chevy Summer Tour is this Friday, August 17th. The Ballast Point Brewery in Long Beach. Stop on by. Enter for your chance to qualify to win a 2018 Chevrolet Silverado. Chevrolet, find new roads. And the guys will join us next on AM 570 LA Sports.